Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello there and welcome to a brand new Arsecast right here on arseblog.olayolay.com. Hope you find you well, an action-packed show to come, I promise you. And we're into the second week of the new season, and so far, this team, I know people have their doubts about it, this team is unbeaten. Yeah, get your head around that while you're screaming for signings and new goalkeepers and defenders and all that. Unbeaten so far this season. On this week's show, we'll be talking to the man from East Lower about everything that's been going on. Also, Tim Payton from the AST will be here to discuss the Arsenal Fan Share, to explain exactly what it is, how you can get involved, what it aims to achieve, and all that kind of stuff. Some questions you might have about it. Well, not that you might have, but some questions that I had about it that I asked him and he answered. And it's all good. Don't worry about it. Tony Adams is here with some poetry and other bits and pieces along the way as well. So the Liverpool game, hey? That was interesting because, I watched with the Mug Smasher after last week, and he did very kindly say that Liverpool were going to win, ensuring, of course, that Liverpool didn't. And it was all very even in the first half. Well, I thought Arsenal had the better of it. And then, of course, Joe Cole got sent off. And you might remember the Mug Smasher talking about Joe Cole last week. He said this.
I hate the little fucker, to be honest.
And I have to tell you that his opinion of Joe Cole was not changed in any way by his first half performance, nor indeed his sending off for the foul on Laurent Koscielny. And how nice was it to see not only Joe Cole being sent off and holding his hands to his big mongy head, that was very nice to see, but nice to see one of our players being taken off on a stretcher. Now, bear with me. I know we're all used to seeing our players being taken off on stretchers, but coming back out for the second half. Perhaps, Arsene Wenger has found a player, and I don't want to jinx him. I'm going to touch wood here and touch my head and cross my toes and lucky feet and rabbit's things and all that. But perhaps he's found a player that's slightly, just barely, a little bit resistant to injury. This is a very new thing for an Arsenal player. Perhaps it can't be taught, but maybe just by being around him, some of his resistance might rub off on the other players. Like injury nits, if you get what I'm saying. I wasn't expecting to see him, and I was going, well, Song is going to have to come on, and he's not really fit, but he'll play centre half, and then what are we going to do for centre half? It's terrible. The first game of the season, his Arsenal career is probably over. And there he was, out for the second half. Of course, he got a ridiculous red card late in the game, but what a debut he had. What a debut. Fouled by Big Mongy Head, taken off on a stretcher, comes back out, and then gets sent off himself. And in between that, played some quite good football indeed. I was impressed, I have to say. But the Mug Smasher,
I hate the little fucker, to be honest.
Honestly, he tried to invent new swear words when Cole was sent off. He also tried to invent new swear words when we scored our equalising goal. I should point that out too. He was quite unhappy, given the lateness of its arrival and the manner in which it arrived. He was adamant there was a foul on the goalkeeper. I said there wasn't. He said there was. I said no, there was no foul on the goalkeeper. There was. No, there was no foul on the goalkeeper. Watch it again. I have watched it. There was a foul. Eventually, he accepted that there was no foul. I said, well, do you not think Reina, if he had been fouled, would be standing there going, excuse me, referee, that chappy there with the silly hair, he fouled me. So he had to give up at that point. I think it was just a disappointment at conceding a late equaliser Having been ahead for so long with 10 men. And it's often difficult to play against 10 men, as we found. And you know us. We're a bit lacking in, you know, penetration sometimes. We're like a monkey with no dick getting up on another monkey with no hole. I think I should probably work on my metaphors before I start recording. Lots of other stuff happened this week, but rather than me explain it to you, I thought it would be better to do it in a much quicker way. Sort of a roundup, if you will. So here's Internet Joe.
I'm Internet Joe, and here's me 30-second roundup. Go to Anfield. No stisk. Ah, Joe Cole. And God, what the fuck was that? We're shy. We're never going to score. Bingaroo. Ah, reign of the future of cock-ups, more like. Ah, that's never a red card, ref. Nasri's injured. Boy, Arsenal shares. Where's our new keeper? Who the cock and bollocks is Squillaci? Frimpong!
And to be honest, I think that kind of sums everything up very nicely. So to discuss all those things and more, it's time to welcome for the first time this season the man from East Lower. Greetings of the new season to you, sir.
And to you too. Hope you're well.
I am. Thank you very much indeed. Same goes. Let's start by talking about injuries, because that seems to be the theme of the moment. Samir Nasri is out for a month, and everybody's kind of going, oh no, not Nasri is out for a month. But nobody's that surprised, are they?
No. No, not really. Not given last season's lengthy list of injuries. But I suppose you could say, you know, it's only a month. And a month compared to, I mean, a month is just your average sort of toenail clip for Abu Dhabi, isn't it? Mm. It's really not that bad. And it's early season. I just, you know, a month, hopefully it's no more than that. But we do seem to be stricken with these things. But, you know.
Yeah, I mean, in fairness, if a guy gets injured in a tackle in a game, there's not really an awful lot you can do about that. It's part of the business, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. As you say, it's kind of compounded by the fact that we had such a terrible season for injuries, and who knows what might have been last year had we not been so stricken. So it's really frustrating that you want to start with a clean slate, and really the slate's still a bit dirty. But it's only a month, and you know, hopefully that'll be that.
Mm. A longer term injury was announced yesterday, and that's Emmanuel Frimpong, who is going to be out for 6 to 9 months. A terrible injury for the young man, because he made a bit of an impact in pre-season. He's done his cruciate ligaments in his knee. But what's interesting to me is the fact that Arsene Wenger has described this as a massive blow. This is a boy that's never played a first-team game for us. And it's, you know, it's interesting to me that I've watched some of the reaction to it online, in the comments, in various blogs, and on Twitter and Facebook and all this kind of stuff. And people are absolutely distraught by this injury, but it's a player that hasn't played for us, not one league game. Do we get a little bit too precious about injuries? Are we too wrapped up in believing that we're struck down by injuries all the time? Because, you know, Frimpong, with the best one in the world, was only ever going to be a fringe player this season.
Well, maybe it's because it came a day after Nasri's one, but I think you're right. Frimpong, he's done really well in pre-season, but he's 18, is he? Or he's pretty young, and doing well in pre-season is no guarantee of anything, quite honestly. And he's got, I don't know, he may have played a few games and certainly would have played Carling and what have you, but really to expect someone that young with that limited experience to have come in and taken the place by storm, I think it's probably a bit much. So, yeah, I feel sorry for him because he was making a big breakthrough and he would have felt really confident. But I don't really know how much effect it's going to have on our season as a whole. I'm, you know, yeah. Maybe when Wenger said it's a huge blow, he just means it's for a huge blow for him. I don't know really, but I can't imagine, you know, if you were going to have to pick an injury, not being cruel, but if you were going to have to pick an injury, you'd pick someone who was not quite as, you know, a non-Cesc kind of player, wouldn't you really?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's it, you know, and perhaps maybe I'm being a little too cynical here, but Frimpong's abilities as a player will become mythical during his time out, injured. Do you know what I mean? That tends to happen, that we tend to build these guys up when they're missing, not maybe taking into account that he looked kind of out of his depth when we played Legia Warsaw. The training games that we played in the Emirates Cup, and that's, let's be fair, that's all they were, training games. He looked very good in them. But, you know, still only 18, so I don't know. Maybe we're...
I mean, I think it's sad when you've got someone who does make a bit of a breakthrough and can expect to play some games, and but, you know, he was never going to be the missing piece in the Arsenal jigsaw this season. So, you know, really, I just hope hope he gets better quicker. But I don't really think it's going to make a big difference to our year.
No, I don't think so either. And especially when a lot of people have been talking about going out and signing a defensive midfield player anyway. Anyway, let's move on from that and go to Anfield on Sunday. 1-1 draw. For you, was that a missed opportunity or, on the face of things, a decent point at the end of the day?
I think the latter. It was weird because when the game ended, I was a little frustrated and I thought, it's same old Arsenal fancy footwork and, you know, in front of the defence, but not really hurting them too much. And there is an element of that. But at the same time, in the cold light of day, I think it was a good result. It's never an easy place to go, even when Liverpool in down in the dumps, it's not. So I think it's a good start to the season. I'm not at all disappointed with it, to be honest.
And what did you make of the two new boys? Schumacher looked to struggle a little bit up front because, he's playing against two fairly physical centre-halves, and I think that's going to be... I think that's going to be a challenge for him. But Koscielny at the back, I think, will have calmed a few nerves that people might have had about him.
Yeah, I thought he's looked pretty good all pre-season. I mean, I know the Warsaw game was a bit weird on lots of levels, but I mean, really, he was good. He was good against Liverpool, I thought. He's very strong. He likes to tackle. He looks like a really good little player, and it's probably too early to judge him, but I'm really pleased with what I've seen so far, and he's definitely ahead of Dura, I would say, at the moment.
As
for Schumacher, like you say, Schumacher, I think he's always going to have a tough debut doing what he was doing. So, in the end, he got some credit for the equaliser.
And what a funny equaliser it was.
That's terrific. All goals are good.
It was one of those weekends, though, for goalkeeping situations. As our goalkeeping situation is still up in the air, there were plenty of mistakes. I think had one of our keepers made a mistake like Reina's, and let's face it, we know they're capable of it, it would have been very difficult. But Mark Schwarzer, still on the radar, and news emerged yesterday that we've had a second bid rejected by Fulham, but it was exactly the same bid as the first time.
Just in case they forgot, I think that's
all. Yeah, we'll chance our arm here.
Yeah, well, I don't know what's going on there. I must say, I really don't, because you would have thought that it would be relatively straightforward to sign a player who wants to leave.
He's handed in a transfer request as well.
Well, yeah, he's handed in a transfer request. He says he wants to leave, and if we want him, I mean, where is the holdup? Unless it's Fulham who are being intransigent until they find someone new. I find it all a bit weird. It's gone on this long, and it's pretty clear that we do need a new keeper. Come on, and we've been speaking about it for so bloody long. But I don't know what's going on. Why is it taking so long? It's a mystery to me. It really is.
Could it be that we're looking elsewhere, or we don't just have our irons in that particular fire? You know, there's the Shea given situation. If you were given the choice tomorrow between Given and Schwarzer, who would you take?
I think I'd probably take Given, but I think both are good keepers, to be honest. But I think Schwartz has had a lot of negative press. I say press, but a lot of negative comments over the summer from on Twitter and stuff. But I've spoken to a couple of Fulham fans, and they say he's very solid, very good, and I think he would be a step up from what we've got, and really that's what we need. So what I don't really understand is why if it's true, that is, why we're haggling over such a small amount of money when we're supposed to be cash rich. I don't really understand that, but maybe there's something. Maybe they're looking elsewhere. I don't know. I would say it's got to happen. It can't keep dragging on and on and on. I mean, obviously, it can only carry on another 10 days anyway, but why is it taking this long? I don't know.
You have to wonder how serious we are about it. I mean, those are the conclusions that you draw, don't you? When you see these stories, you draw these conclusions that we're not really serious about it. We haven't gone out and made a statement of intent by going to try and sign this player or do this. But of course, we don't really know what's going on behind the scenes.
Well, no, that's very Arsenal as well. We never find, we very rarely know much about what's going on until it happens, and they never comment sort of midway through something going on either. So that just adds fuel to the fire. But I don't know. I mean, I would. I'm still confident we will get a keeper in. It looks likely to be him, but who knows? I'd be really, really upset if it got to the transfer window closing and nothing had happened, though. That I would really struggle to understand that.
With goalkeeper in particular, would you be expecting more than a goalkeeper to arrive before the end of the transfer window?
I'd say it's the most important position to fill. If we've got Juru and Kuznielki, who I still can't pronounce, and Vermaelen, who I just about can, I think three is not quite enough there, is it? But if I had to pick between only one, I would say goalie,
right,
first and foremost. But we've had signals all from Wenger himself saying we're short in that department all summer. So you really should be thinking of one of each, but time is running out, isn't it?
It is a bit. Let's very quickly look ahead to the Blackpool game. How much do you know about Blackpool? Are you expecting them to be able to pull off any kind of a Hull City type result against us?
I don't think so, no. I really don't think so. That was a spectacular start for them, brilliant start. And nobody could have foreseen that, I suspect. But really, you've got to be expecting a good win for Arsenal. And
They were slightly helped by Wigan being absolutely shite.
Well, that's right. I think at home, first game of the season, I just can't see anything but a good Arsenal win. I can't see it. I hope not.
Yeah, well, I hope not. All right, man from East Lower, thank you very much indeed.
No problem. Cheers.
The man from East Lower can be found at www.eastlower.co.uk.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's a brand new year, and what better time to get going with that online store you've been thinking of? Those "I was there when Arsenal actually scored a goal" t-shirts would fly off the shelves right now. And to get yourself up and running, you need Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way through to the did we hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, up to 36% better compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort with thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 a month trial period at shopify.com/arseblog, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/arseblog now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/arseblog. Hey, if you haven't already got it on your reading list, do put it on because it's well worth it. Before we go and talk to Tim Payton from the AST, here's Tony.
Hello, everyone. Tony Adams here with another poem on the Arsecast. This week, my poem is about Arsenal's newest injured hero, Emmanuel Frimpong. It is entitled Frimmy, and it goes a little bit like this. Oh, Frimpong, you're going to be out for so long. Got no cover for Alex's song. It's all gone Pete Tong. And that means wrong, but not as wrong as if you gone Tim Westwood. Pete Tong means you've hurt your knee. Tim Westwood means your legs would have fallen off. That's not rhyming slang. It's just that Tim Westwood is a cunt. Thank you very much.
More from Tony as the weeks go on. Now, one of the big things that happened this week, apart from players getting injured, was the launch of the Arsenal Fanshare scheme. Put together by the AST, it allows Arsenal fans a chance to buy shares or parts of shares, so that all those parts of shares add up into one share, and then you get the benefits of being a shareholder and all that kind of stuff. But here to explain a little bit more about it is Tim Payton from the Arsenal Supporters Trust. Hi, Tim.
Hi there.
Tell us a little bit about what exactly Arsenal Fanshare is and what it does for supporters.
Arsenal Fanshare is an affordable way for Arsenal supporters to invest in the club, to have their own part of a share in Arsenal Football Club. With that comes the chance of all of us as supporters to influence the club and safeguard its values and spirit for the future. It also sends a message to the other shareholders within Arsenal and the wider football community that we think plurality of ownership at Arsenal is what has kept it strong and healthy for a long time. And by having small supporters involved in increasing numbers, it will make sure we can be a check and balance on the club so that the long-term future of the club is protected for us all to enjoy.
How exactly did this come about? Because obviously the ownership situation at the club has been complicated, particularly in the last 2 or 3 years. How did this come about, and was it easy to get up and running off the ground? You say you've got the support of all the four major shareholders. It must have taken some work to get this going.
It's taken quite a lot of work. It's been about 5 years in the planning and implementing stage, and it really came about. The Arsenal Supporters Trust wants to increase ownership, representation and influence for supporters in the club through more supporters holding equity and through bringing together those supporters who do hold shares, so we're a more powerful group. And one of the challenges at Arsenal has been, as the share price has risen to towards £10,000, it makes it very difficult for the ordinary fan to get involved. So the brilliance of this scheme is it splits a share down into 100 fan shares and allows people to get involved, have their first fan share from approximately £100. And although that's not the exact equivalent of a share, you will get the opportunity to go into a ballot to attend the AGM. You will get each year your own vote on the club's resolutions and policy decisions, which is then collated with every other fan share member and applied at the AGM. You will get the Chief Executive Shareholder email update that Ivan Gazidis sends out, and you will in effect be a part owner of Arsenal Football Club. It's taken a long time, a lot of planning. We've required the support, particularly I think of Danny Fisman and Stan Kroenke in the board. Ivan Gazidis has been an absolute champion of this. I think we've all seen how he tried to change the way Arsenal talks to its fans and involves everybody. And, you know, we've now got a fair wind and we've introduced it. And the even better news, you mentioned Red and White Holdings or Usmanov. They have said they support the scheme, as does Lady Nina. And there's a powerful message in what we've achieved this week, which is, you know, to get everybody at Arsenal talking about a stable ownership position and a position that involves supporters.
The shares that are taken up by Arsenal fans in this fan share thing, their existing Arsenal shares are not new shares.
That's right. At the moment, we will just be buying shares in the marketplace. So the money from those shares will go to the person who sells. As we do that, though, of course, what we're doing is keeping shares in the hands of supporters and opening them up. Because as we buy one share, we're introducing up to 100 people to an involvement in that share. Mm-hmm. If we're successful and if lots of people join, our war chest will grow. And then certainly we might in future go to the club and talk about issuing a few more shares, or go and talk to one of the major shareholders and say, would you sell us some of your shares to help keep the scheme healthy and strong? And given the support they've given to us now, I think we'd have productive conversations. But let's get that challenge by getting lots of members and making ourselves strong.
Sure. And people can pay £100 and buy, you know, 1/100th of a share. Can they spend more than that if they want to?
Yeah, actually, the ideal way to invest would be a small amount each month and to keep going with your investment. So in effect, when you reach about £100, what will happen is that £100 is converted across into a fan share. But then as you keep saving, you get a second fan share and so on. So you increase your proportion of a full share. The long-term aim, we'd hope, is that people save towards 100 fan shares. And when they reach that point, you in effect become the equivalent of a full shareholder within our scheme. At that point, you get the guaranteed right to attend the AGM with your share, as other shareholders do, and you get the full voting right to exercise on that share. So the long-term aim is build towards 100 and be like a shareholder. But on your way to getting there, you get many of the benefits straight away, rather than if you just saved into your own account, it's going to take you many years, and during that time, you're not playing a part.
What happens if after investing, you know, because one share is essentially £10,000, as we say, if at some point you want to sell that, is that possible for people who are involved in this, or does all the money invested stay within the fan share?
No, if you need to leave the fan share for any reason, then you sell your fan share units on the market, or rather back into the scheme, and you get the value of those units at the time. So I would stress it is an investment you should make for custodian reasons, for being involved in the club, but it isn't a financial investment where, you know, your money may go up a bit or down a bit, but you will get the value of your fan shares back when you leave. So it's good news. It's not like buying a ticket where the money's gone at the end of the 90 minutes.
And, you know, what about critics who will say, well, look, you're going to have to get so many people involved in this for it to make a real difference. Do you have a specific goal in mind? Do you want to have a certain percentage or a certain amount of people involved in this? And realistically, you know, how long is it going to take for the fan share to get into a position where it can make a real difference?
It's a good question. I think at one level, we make a difference now. I mean, we chat occasionally, and I think your listeners will know of some of the success that the Arsenal Supporters Trust has had in holding the club to account, in analysing the results. As we get more members, we'll get stronger. I don't want to set any targets. Every person who joins, and already hundreds are signing up, is one more person who owns a part of Arsenal. And that is a fantastic message. But it's like all of these things, particularly football is about teamwork and supporters are about teamwork. And if all the people who support Arsenal put a little bit in, we will make a major difference. And over, you know, 1, 2, 3 years, that's what we intend to do.
How has the reaction been? I mean, obviously we saw the launch of it yesterday or on Wednesday, and the website was down, simply unreachable because so many people were looking for it, which is a great reaction, I suppose. Unfortunate, of course, because people want to read about it, but that's a short-term problem. Has there been good reaction from, let's say, other supporters groups or other Premier League clubs to this?
There's been a fantastic reaction. We've had organisations like the chief executive of UEFA talk about this being a great model for the future of fans' involvement in football. We've had the sports minister, we've had the Premier League, we've had many of the leading media commentators endorse it. There are, you can imagine that, you know, supporters groups of places like Liverpool and Manchester United are really very jealous at the opportunity Arsenal fans have, not only to be involved in our club, but the way that our club runs itself, so we don't end up in the situation they're facing of, you know, all of the money now going into paying off debts and the future looking very unstable. So, you know, my message to all of your listeners, all of my fellow Arsenal fans, is while we've got this opportunity, it's really precious. We're the only big club in England with this opportunity. Let's absolutely keep it and make it work for us.
All right, Tim, brilliant. It's a great scheme. Congratulations to everyone at the AST for getting it up and running.
Thank you.
And hopefully it all goes well. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
You can find more information on the website, which is arsenalfanshare.com. That's arsenalfanshare.com. In the first couple of days, the website was up and down a bit because of the amount of traffic going to it. It wasn't able to handle it, but I think all those issues are sorted out now. So there's all kinds of information on the website, FAQs, etc., etc. One thing I should mention, of course, is that if you're an overseas fan, it becomes a little bit difficult to get involved just at this moment in time, because you do need a UK bank account from which to make a direct debit to take part in the Arsenal Fan Share. Now, I know the AST and the people running the Arsenal Fan Share are very aware of the fact that there are overseas fans, myself included, who would very much like to take part in this, and they are working on it. So as soon as I get any more information about when the scheme is available to overseas fans, I'll let you know on the blog and on the Arscast, etc., etc. Right, before we look ahead to the Blackpool game and a bit of team news on that, here's a question for you. Which current Arsenal player had a hit in 1987? In the pop charts, yes. Can't think, no. Give you a little hint. The song was called Call Me. Yeah, you got it. That's right. Bacary Spagna. The answer to your question is no, I won't ever stop making cheesy 80s pop music related gags. I'm afraid you're just going to have to live with that. Looking ahead to the Blackpool game, and we could have four players back, not just from injury. Alex Song was injured, he's back. Danielson was injured, he could well be back. Johan Juru, he was injured and he'll be back and could very well start the game because of Koscielny's suspension, ludicrous suspension because of the red card he got at the end of the Liverpool game. And who else? Did I say Danielson? Cesc is back. Whether or not he starts remains to be seen. Arsene Wenger says about Cesc and Van Persie, they only came back on August 5th and you need 3 to 4 weeks preparation if you want to do well. The other injuries, of course, Nicholas Bentner, long-term Nasri, we know about, Emmanuel Frimpong, and of course Aaron Ramsey, who's out for a little while yet with the broken leg. Blackpool. Well, I don't know an awful lot about Blackpool. I know that Marlon Harewood plays with them, and Marlon Harewood looks like... I don't know if any of you ever played a video game called Abe's Odyssey or Abe's Exodus. Marlon Harewood looks like the kind of the bosses of the factory that you have to go around saving these little creature guys and doing all this weird chanting and stuff like that. It's a good game. You should try it. But the bosses, Marlon Harewood looks like one of them. Or they look like Marlon Harewood. I don't know which. He plays for them and they play in orange and they won their first game 4-0 against Wigan at Wigan. Now, Wigan were terrible. Really, really terrible. If you thought we couldn't defend, then think again. Because we can. Maybe not very well at times, but, you know, Wigan really can't defend. But 4-0. And we know what it's like playing against teams that have just been promoted. Hull City came to the Emirates. And, yeah, we rather took them for granted and ended up on the end of a 2-1 score. But that was, of course, a lot to do with a man from Hull who was taunting his family, saying that Arsenal were going to win by X amount of goals, and that was all his fault, really. So I hope we don't underestimate the opposition. I don't think that will be the case. You would have to hope, of course, as well, that Arsenal have rather too much for Blackpool. First home game of the season, a nice convincing win would do wonders for everybody. While we wait for all those delicious signings to happen, any time now, just waiting, I think one could happen now. Just what I've got a feeling it's going to happen now. No, not now, but maybe in the next little while. So, fingers crossed, we have a good weekend. Score some goals. Continue our unbeaten run. Remember, unbeaten. This team is unbeaten so far this season. Majestic form. I don't know how anyone can deny that. So, here's to a good win at the weekend. And I'll talk to you on the blog. And, of course, all next week on the blog. And, of course, on next week's Arsecast. Until then, take it easy. Cheers. Bye-bye.
Hello, my name is George, and this week I've been mostly looking at the Arsenal franchise scheme. Seems to me that only a club as classy as Arsenal could do something like this. At a time when finances are tight for everybody, the economic climate is, it's like the Irish climate, grey and pretty shite. and the world of football is in a state of chessis. To come up with a thing like the Arsenal Fanshare is remarkable, and I want to give my thanks and praise and holy moments to everyone that came up with it. And I'm already taking part. This morning I went out with me brother, Malachy, and we got ourselves an Arsenal fan. And later on, oh, we're going to share him all night long.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.